Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he was working on a movie about a haunted theater, and they soon realized they were shooting it in a haunted theater.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? You can call it in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can also write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Then if you'd rather have an ad-free version of the show, you will also get advance episodes and access to the archive. You can become a premium subscriber. Go through Apple Podcasts if you do that. You can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's with me today. And one thing that we both love are stories about haunted theaters.
We do. And I'm wondering, is this a haunted movie theater or a haunted, like, stage production theater?
I'm thinking it's a stage, like an old theater. Mm-hmm. Now, there could have been movies in it at one time. But I think it's interesting that they were going to shoot a movie about a haunted theater, and they used this theater to shoot the haunted theater movie, and this theater's haunted.
It sounds perfect.
It's a really good idea.
You know, there's some sort of method acting, right, where you just kind of put yourself into that role and you stay in it and, you know, you just live it. And do your regular life just being like you're in that role. And I guess that's kind of the set, a version of that, where the set is actually living what it's supposed to be in the movie.
And I think what's so interesting, too, in a situation like this is that if you're shooting a movie, there's a lot of activity as far as people. There's a lot of people involved in shooting a movie, a lot of people. And there's a lot of just behind the scenes thing going on. And so I would think a lot of times you wouldn't experience a lot of paranormal activity because there's just so much going on. So that's what I think makes this a very interesting story. You ready?
Okay. Well, I really am. Yeah.
Here it is.
Hi, Tony. My name's Mike. I live in Colorado. I'm an actor and a producer here, but I wanted to tell you about a movie that we worked on at a theater here in Colorado. I'm not going to share the name of it just for privacy reasons, but there was about 20 of us total crew and cast that worked on this movie. And ironically enough, it was a ghost story about this theater had been crushed by an avalanche in the Colorado mountains in the 1930s, and everybody inside perished, including the audience. So the theater was haunted by this cast and audience. Cut to the chase here. We had experienced all kinds of things. We heard racket coming from the basement and other rooms. One guy, one of the actors, was in the basement working late, helping to wrap up and everything. And there were generally two of us, and I was the other one that night. And he came upstairs and he saw me upstairs in the theater itself. And he just stopped and he looked at me and became rather pale. And I said, "What's wrong with you? You know, have you seen a ghost?" No, I didn't really say that. But he said, I just heard you downstairs." I said, "No, I've been up here the whole time." And he said, "Well, I heard chairs being moved and everything. And I even talked to you." He goes, "But you didn't answer." I said, "No, I've been up here the whole time." But the most interesting thing that happened was we actually captured an image on videotape. We were doing a light, what's called a light balance. We had one of the producers at the top of the stairwell or top of the balcony in the theater stand there so that we could do a proper lighting balance. In the monitor, there was about at least 15 of us standing around the monitor as they were doing this, and we were watching. Above our producer's head, up on the balcony, in a top row of three bright, shimmering orbs that looked to be about the size of softballs were in a straight row above his head. And below those, in a regular, in almost a rectangle form, were two more on either side to the right or left below the three. And our director had seen this once before, and a couple of the others. This time we all saw it. Now these, I'll call them orbs, I don't know what else to call them, started moving. One started the one on the bottom started gradually moving diagonally up towards the right. The minute it hit the spot to the top orb on the right, in the top row, that particular orb shot down and took the other one's place. And these kind of movements went on for minutes. But we didn't see it when we looked up on the balcony where our producer was. We could only see it in the monitor. And it was all recorded. And one gal is one of my voiceover talents still. This happened in 1999. So we all saw that. We got it on tape and everything. Unfortunately, our videographer, for some reason, just didn't believe it and deleted it all, unfortunately. But it was the most captivating thing I've ever seen in my life. And there were times when we heard noises while we were all filming there and setting up sets and so on, that we thought someone had broken into the building, and this happened more than once. We called the sheriff two or three times, and he came out here, or he came out there and looked around and didn't find anybody in the theater or in the whole building. So I remember the first time he came out, he said, "You folks are brave for doing this here." He goes, "Even the homeless won't come in this place." But all kinds of weird things were happening. And we initially planned on sleeping in the theater, but after the first day and night, we started hearing things. We all decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're either going to get a hotel or... I had an RV, so me and several of the others stayed in my RV. But I can tell you, 15 to 20 other people all saw it, and they can all corroborate it. It was absolutely just incredible. And it could be creepy at times. It really could. I know it's short and sweet, but that's my story, and feel free to air it. And I love your show.
What do you think about that? Like, a very active location, obviously.
Oh, definitely.
Like, you know, somebody's like, "Hey, you know, you were ignoring me back there." And he's like, "I wasn't even there. It was not me." I mean, that's how real it felt. But the orb thing I thought was particularly interesting. He said that went on for several minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, and corroborated. Yeah, sorry. By many people.
Yeah.
That were watching it. It was on film, though they didn't keep it, but they caught it. That's where they were apparently seeing it, right? Was on this film. They didn't, from my understanding, with the way he was talking, they didn't see it.
I thought they actually saw it and they were filming it.
Oh, okay. I thought he meant
I
that
can go
they
back. Let me see. Let me see.
Film.
It might be around in here.
We were doing a light, what's called a light balance. We had one of the producers at the top.
I did get it to the right spot. Here it is.
Top of the stairwell, or on top of the balcony in the theater, stand there so that we could do a proper lighting balance. In the monitor, there was about at least 15 of us standing around the monitor as they were doing this, and we were watching. Above our producer's head, up on the balcony, in the top row of three bright, shimmering orbs that looked to be about the size of softballs were in a straight row above his head. And below those, in almost a rectangle form, were two more on either side to the right or left below the three. And our director had seen this once before, and a couple of the others. This time we all saw it. Now these, I'll call them orbs, I don't know what else to call them, started moving. The one on the bottom started gradually moving diagonally up towards the right. the minute it hit the spot to the top orb on the right in the top row, that particular orb shot down and took the other one's place. And these kind of movements went on for minutes. But we didn't see it when we looked up on the balcony where our producer was. We could only see it in the monitor, and it was all recorded.
Yeah, so they saw it through the monitor.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, is not unusual to catch orbs on film, right? That you're not necessarily seeing them, but then later you come home and you're looking through your pictures and there's an orb.
Right.
Right? And so that makes sense as far as these orb goes, that they caught it and that they were seeing them. What I found interesting was there seemed to be some sort of coordination between the orbs.
That's interesting.
Like almost a consciousness where they would move and then take the place of another one and, you know.
Definitely feels like some kind of intelligence to them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. That was absolutely fascinating. And, you know, we often get theater sorts of stories. It's not unusual to get theater stories. I think they're super haunted places. And apparently the sheriff thought so. He must have been incredibly brave because they said they called the sheriff and he came in and he went all through it by himself. But then he said, "You guys are so brave for doing this because nobody will come in this building."
Yeah, even homeless people don't
break in. You just went through it by yourself looking for stuff. He must have been very brave too, the sheriff. So apparently everyone knew that this was a very haunted location.
And he had obviously, the sheriff knew. He'd been called out there before, I'm sure. I don't know. I thought that was a really good story. It's just interesting
that story.
All of them could see that happening in front of them. Mm-hmm. But when they look at it, they're not seeing it. But when they look in the monitor, they're seeing it.
Well, it was kind of like that one time where I was in the basement of my old building and we had that tour group come in for, you know, the haunted downtown thing. And people took pictures and then later showed them to me. And I was covered just with orbs all around me. But of course, you didn't see them when you were in there. But you saw them on the pictures later.
And I get that sometimes it can be dust. It can be bugs. Like I get there are things that could be debunkable. But when you're standing there watching a monitor and watching these things move around and you can see right in front of you, there's nothing there. You know, what is that?
Purpose.
And people are seeing things and hearing things. Like the whole place was haunted.
Yeah. You know, you can't have dust that moves and then takes the place of that dust and that one goes back, you know, or whatever. This seemed to be really choreographed.
I like that story. So thank you very much for calling that one in. Here is another story. It says, about 8 years ago, an older couple moved into the house directly next door to mine. Tony and his wife, not our Tony, this is another guy. Tony and his wife did not have any young children. Their daughter was in her 20s and no longer lived at home. So we thought it was odd that they moved into a neighborhood with so many young families. My husband and I had a 2-year-old, 4-year-old, and 6-year-old at the time, and every family around him had children about the same age. I would not describe our neighborhood as a quiet place to live. So we all found it a little odd they chose that house, but we were happy to have them. Shortly after moving in, his wife was diagnosed with cancer and passed away, leaving him in the house alone. Oh, that's really sad. I didn't get a chance to know her well because she was in and out of the hospital and passed away so quickly. We were close enough to Tony and attended her small funeral. All of us neighbors came together to make sure he knew we were all there for him. His family lived out of the country. He traveled for work quite a bit, and his daughter was off at college across the state, so we were all concerned about him being lonely. We always said hi to him when we'd see him outside, wave as he passed us in the car, and catch up about work when we'd run into each other on the street. He had a fascinating job, so I was always curious about what he was up to and where he was traveling to. He loved golf, so my husband invited him to golf on his league a few times. Tony was a heavy smoker, so he often stood on his back deck at all hours of the day and night. When I'd have my windows open in the warmer months, his smoke would drift into my house if the wind was blowing just right. As a non-smoker with small children, you can imagine I wasn't incredibly pleased to have a house full of cigarette smoke, but I tolerated it nonetheless. My husband would tell you I was borderline crazy about how much I hated cigarette smoke, but I figured out if he can tolerate my loud middle son, who has one volume, loud, that's in caps, I can put up with a smelly habit. I rarely ever saw him without a cigarette, and I imagine that had something to do with his poor health. In the summer, he would mow the grass with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. In the winter, he would snowblow or shovel the driveway with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He was quite a sight outside doing yard work, always with his cigarette dangling from his lips. One evening, we were having a bonfire in our backyard, and it blew smoke into his house. It was late, we'd all had a few drinks, and I might have been feeling a little sassy that night. Tony came out on his deck and complained about the smoke filling up his house because his windows were open. My husband, the calmer of us two, went over to talk to him and apologized, but I got up and shouted, "If I have to put up with your cigarette smoke in my house, you can put up my bonfire smoke right now." It wasn't a friendly exchange at the time. I will admit I was a bitch, but my husband was very cordial. Tony was a kind-hearted man, and I was happy he didn't hold a grudge against me for being such a jerk that night. However, after that incident, I always felt like he passive-aggressively tried to smoke in my direction. This didn't upset me. In fact, I found it kind of funny because I deserved it for how rude I was to him. About 2 years ago, he died suddenly in his house. We were sad to lose him, but we were happy to learn that his daughter would take over the house and stay in the neighborhood. Over the course of the last 2 years since Tony's death, it's not uncommon for me to get the scent of cigarette smoke in the house. There's no other smoker in any of my neighbors' houses, and neither my husband nor I smoke or have friends who smoke. The first time it happened, I was in my kitchen. I thought maybe something was burning, but I wasn't cooking anything. It smelled like cigarettes. It definitely caught my attention, and as quickly as I smelled the smoke, it was gone. The second time it happened was winter. I was home alone because the kids were all at school and my husband was at work. I was sitting at my desk finishing a project for a client when I got a chill and smelled the smoke. It caught my attention at that time, lasted longer than the first time, and I felt like I was being watched. The feeling passed with the smell, and I continued with my workday. After that, I knew what to expect, and I'm no longer surprised by it. In the past 2 years, it's happened about a dozen times. I am certain this is Tony just making it known that he's still around and smoking up the place. After the initial fear of this unknown presence passed, I smile about it now, and several times I've caught myself saying out loud, "Oh, hey, Tony." Since his daughter moved in, we've grown pretty close. We watch each other's houses when we're out of town. We check on each other's dogs, always talk when we see each other, and I'll be throwing her a bridal shower later this year. Her fiancé is wonderful, and we're so excited they're getting married. I've considered telling her about these experiences, but I feel like she might think I'm crazy, so I'll just settle for telling you guys now. I'm not sure if I'll ever tell her, but I wonder if she's experiencing anything similar. I know she has completely renovated the home, so little to nothing is left inside from when he lived there. I think he's still there watching over her and seeing the wonderful woman she's become. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Thanks for the show, Marlene. Well, so if you smelled the smoke and you thought it was Tony and then Tony's daughter moved in, would you tell her?
You know, I might wait a little while and then tell her, you know, let her get through the wedding and all the excitement and doing all that stuff. And, you know, maybe down the road. I think I would.
I don't know.
Because
if
I think
would.
That people like to know if their loved ones are around, you know. I would want to know if somebody had an experience that related to somebody I loved.
And I think it kind of depends on the person, too. I think you'd need to know that person kind of well, because maybe it would really bother them. It's like, why haven't they moved on? You know, kind of depending upon your belief system. Maybe you wouldn't be okay with that information.
I don't know. I would want to know myself. But, you know, I've had those experiences with smoke. My dad was a heavy smoker, and I've had it like just unoccasionally. I'm in my house and all of a sudden it smells like cigarette smoke.
Yeah. And I think it's super common. I think a lot of people have had that.
My biggest one was when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. Yeah. And I was happened to be by myself. And what's funny is, you know, I lived my whole life being a Cubs fan. And I always dreamt that when the Cubs won the World Series, I don't know, somehow I thought I'd be with all these people. Right. And we'd
all
be screaming.
I was home by myself, too.
I was home by myself. And so I'm there and the Cubs have just won and I'm crying and I'm so excited and I'm so happy. And everybody's screaming on the phone. Right. Because the phone's blown up and I'm getting all these texts from all these people. And I just all of a sudden I just take a deep breath and I sit back and lean back on the sofa and I go, it smells like cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And it was so strong. And I knew right then and there that Dad was there.
And we had at the radio station Tony and I worked at, there was a guy, you know, the person who smokes so much that it's like in their skin, like it just smells different than regular cigarette smoke. They just have that. There's a different smell. And I think if you're one of those smokers, you really can't smell it. But those of us really, there's just a difference. And there was one guy who worked there and he, even if he's not smoking, you walk by him in the hallway, you can smell it. And there would be times after he passed away, that smell would be so strong. Tony smelled it. I smelled it. You know, it was just randomly you're walking down the hallway by the station he worked at and it would just be like, boom, just hit you. So the cigarette smoke is pretty common. And I think it's kind of an easy way for them to connect. And
I agree.
I think it depends on the person if you would tell them or not. But if they're pretty close and sounds like they are. You know, maybe when the time is right, I think you would know.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't do it quite yet, but I think I'd, you know, but I think I maybe would down the road.
Unless all of a sudden, like she's, it's very obvious, like I am not telling her, but I think, you know, it's like she says something's like, I don't believe in the paranormal. I don't want anything to do with it. Okay, I'm not going to tell her that her dad smokes all the time.
Or you might say, there's this great episode of Real Ghost Stories Online you should listen to.
Oh, by the way, that's so weird. Your dad's name was Tony. I think that's a great
idea. And I'm named Marlene.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. If you'd rather have an ad-free version of the show, you can go that way. You can get advanced episodes and access to the archive by becoming a premium subscriber. Go through Apple Podcasts. You can go through patreon.com/realghoststories, ghostpodcast.com, any of those. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.